Hello, and welcome to Diabetes Dialogue, technology, therapeutics, and real-world perspectives. Diabetes Dialogue is a monthly podcast hosted by myself, Diana Isaacs, and Natalie Bellini, providing a regular news roundup of the latest clinically applicable insights across diabetes and metabolic diseases, with a focus on leveraging technology to improve care. Produced by HCP Live Endocrinology, the audio version of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives is available on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, with a video version available only on hcplive.com.
Hello, and welcome to this episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real-World Perspectives. My name is Diana Isaacs, and I am the co-host with Natalie Bellini, and we have another very special episode at the ATTD conference in Berlin, Germany, where today we are joined by Joanne Rinker. So welcome, Joanne, and if you wouldn't mind introducing our listeners to you and your role and everything.
Sure. So I'm Joanne Rinker. I'm a board-certified advanced diabetes manager and a registered dietitian. And you wanted me to give some background?
Yeah, well, I know, for example, that you were formerly the Educator of the Year by AADE, now ADCES. So maybe tell everyone about all those good things.
Okay. So for 4 or 5 years, I worked with the North Carolina Department of Public Health, Division of Public Health, and we worked on actually starting an umbrella program for health departments all across the state of North Carolina for diabetes self-management education and support. And that was the work that was submitted on my behalf for Diabetes Educator of the Year. And I got that award from Ken Mortisuku in 2012 for 2013. And I used that opportunity to spread the word about diabetes and hearing loss, because that is a complication that often isn't discussed. And so throughout the year of 2013, I was able to go to regional and state meetings to, you know, talk about what that complication looks like and with prolonged hyperglycemia, why this is, you know, such a huge risk for people with diabetes.
And I thought you recently had another publication. Did I see something come through on that?
I have a poster here.
Okay.
And that might be one of the things. And then just doing like some articles just to continue like beating the drum. And so like Endocrine Today will put it in for me, or like Diabetes Self-Management Education Journal or magazine. So there's different places, Dietitian Today, that will just pick it up every now and then, so that we're constantly trying to repeat the fact that this message is important and the screening is necessary.
So that's interesting, because as a provider, I don't ever order screening for hearing or hearing loss or...
Don't tell her that.
Right. But I mean, I need to know more, right?
This is actually why we talk about it.
No. So I think that there's... And it's funny, because I was actually in a hearing loss study as a, right, as a patient. So I tell... What is the recommendation? Because I don't know.
So this is actually easy. There is a tool that's called an HHIE. It says it's meant for elderly, but really it's meant for everyone. And it's just a short questionnaire. So like if you have people in a waiting room, or if you're doing telehealth, if there's any way to share this tool, they can actually do it prior to seeing you. And if they score a certain way, then you know if you need to refer them to an audiologist. So it's actually pretty simple to do, but you just have to get it implemented into your workflow.
Right.
But the thing that's really important is if you're going to do that, to make sure that you set some or start to make some relationships with some audiologists, so that when they do screen and they need referrals, you've already kind of gotten your place.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Right. Yeah. That's so important, because if you end up not having a place to go, then.
Right. And the big thing about this, there's a couple things, but the two things I'll mention. One is that this is also often mistaken for some cognitive loss, like a misunderstanding of the things you're talking about. So that's one thing. That's one reason to screen, because then you can get over that hump. But then the other is that the longer people have hearing loss, the harder it is for them to rehab and actually process speech again. So it takes longer and longer. So that's why, you know, people should be screened at diagnosis. And then based on those results, you know, the audiologist would recommend if it's annual, if it's every 3 years, every 5 years, but getting that initial baseline is really important.
So if someone screens and there's no red flags, when should we rescreen?
Then you can rescreen annual or every 2 years. I mean, as long as you're having some regular interaction, you could ask family members, you know, are you noticing, you know, any differences when you're when you're communicating? So like, there's some ways that you can do it even without that questionnaire, but it's definitely something to always be kind of thinking about.
Wow,
when you're sitting
amazing.
Across from the person.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because we are getting better and better about, and some of this is partly, you know, population health, right?
Yes.
Eye screening. We, you know, as a clinician, I need to have not only recommend eye screening, but also mm-hmm. make sure it's in the chart or I get dinged for it, right?
Right.
As a clinician. So there's not any kind of recommendation on hearing loss that they're tracking right now to say, by the way, we should be doing this.
That's right. In 2021, it was put in the standards.
Yes.
Which was exciting for us because
right.
we're like, finally,
this
there's some recognition.
Right. Right.
Yeah. But it's audiologist if indicated. So that's
okay.
the other reason why the screening is so important.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
That's incredible. Okay. So let's switch gears a little bit.
Okay.
So you were in North Carolina practicing. And then
yep.
what? Tell us the rest of your story.
Okay. So then after that, I was really interested in working on the national level.
Mm-hmm.
I actually ended up applying and getting on the board of directors at ADCES. And then after doing that work and knowing, you know, the kinds of things that ADCES was doing, I ended up applying for a position there. And so I was their director of practice and content and learning and spent 5 years. Really working on like position statements, you know, joint position statements with ADA, with AND, working on the content for annual conference, which was really fun, you know, and getting to work with members.
Yeah,
which
we did. Great. I really enjoyed working on those practice papers.
Yeah.
With you, CGM pumps. Yeah.
And truly transforming what ADCES has to offer too. I mean, the quality of the education through ADCES has transformed in the last, let's say 10 years or so, right? Really, you know, looking at new entry into becoming a brand new clinician versus someone who's been here 5 to 10 years versus someone who does different kinds
Absolutely.
Of expertise, different levels of practice.
Mm-hmm.
It was a meeting that I went to, and now it's a meeting I actually look forward to and say, I'm going every year. I know where it is next. And I, you know, that kind of
yeah.
thing. It has made a huge difference.
Where is it now?
Houston.
Oh, good. You know.
just
a quiz.
It's Houston. And we'll see you all there. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll be doing more filming there.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah,
today.
Joanne, I really appreciate it. Thanks for all that you
thanks
do.
Thanks for having me, guys. It was awesome.